from the Carter Subaru Studios. This is the G and Ursula Show with G Scott and Ursula Voitin.
It is 11:07. Good morning, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us on the G and Ursula Show today. G is off once again. He's nursing his very sore neck. Mike Lewis is filling in for him. Thank you, Mike.
Happy to be here. Always happy to be here.
It is International Women's Day. We haven't mentioned it yet, and we want to make sure that we think about it. We mark it somehow today. So coming up at 11:30, Heather's going to join us again, and she's going to share a very sweet story as we commemorate this International Women's Day. But right now, it is time for Agree to Disagree, brought to you by Guardian Roofing and Gutters.
One of these days, we just got to take off the gloves, just really go at it.
So as we all know, about 2 years ago, a new state law went into effect that effectively restricted police pursuits to DUIs and suspects involved in violent crimes, or those with warrants for violent crimes. People who are driving around in a stolen car, simply speeding, cannot be chased by police if they decide to drive off. And if nothing changes in the next hour, any kind of fix for that law in Olympia will be dead. So my question is, generally speaking, should police be allowed to pursue someone who's driving a stolen car, or does the risk to pedestrians and other people in the community outweigh catching crooks? Ursula, where do you fall on the spectrum?
I fall on the absolutely police should be able to pursue, and there are already rules in place within each jurisdiction and within each police agency that police should follow to try to minimize the number of accidental deaths involving innocent people. We all agree that we don't want innocent people to die. But as a result of some of the changes that happened in Olympia and the laws that were passed in Olympia, now just about every single law enforcement agency and the Association of Police Chiefs and Sheriffs, we had the director of that agency on our show telling us that, yes, in fact, these changes have gone too far in that now there are people. There are crooks like the guys who stole the ATM right. in Lakewood last right. week who can get away with something that is so obvious because this law has basically bound police officers from being able to chase an obvious criminal. And I think that, like so many other things, you're trying to address a problem, and that problem needs to be addressed. But why do we always have to go to the extreme in trying to solve it, and then now we create new problems? And I think it would be a shame to basically waste more time doing more studies when the studies have already shown that this is having a overall negative effect in terms of trying to fight crime.
I think we're going about this so spectacularly wrong that it's hard to actually sort of wrap my head around it entirely, and not for the reasons you stated. Look, there is existing technology right now. Anyone who's ridden an Uber knows this, that we can track vehicles. Why we do not have tracking on vehicles. Now, everyone who's going to say, I don't want my car tracked by the government, blah, 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 blah. Please text me that on your phone, right? Text me that on your phone, the tracking device you carry with you everywhere you go. This is the problem. The problem is that we can actually catch 100% if we just bother to put the technology. Look at the lawsuit regarding Kia Hyundai, right? On making the cars
correct,
like aggressively stealable. This is not like the issue that we're dealing with here is one, we've got people who are actually going to be affected deeply economically by losing their car. The fact is, I won't. I've got full coverage on my truck. I can still get to work. I can still get stuff done if someone steals my vehicle. But there's a lot of people out there who are not in that same position, right? So why don't we find a way to take care of them? One, we've de-emphasized auto theft as an investigative branch of police. And the reason we've done that is because there are more important things for police to do. And we're not going to ever hire cops up in the way we used to. So if we want them to focus on things we're actually worried about, like violent crime, why don't we push auto manufacturers, both aftermarket and existing auto manufacturers, to actually make cars that can be tracked and then recovered when stolen? Simple, and we could eliminate. You want to stop eliminating auto theft? You make it when everyone knows when they get in that car, it can be tracked. They're going to stop stealing them that fast.
Yeah.
And I think you make great points, but we're not only talking about car theft. I mean, we're talking about just chases in general. I mean, we're talking about,
well, but one of those things what we're talking about now. So if we want to get to this place where someone has committed a violent crime, should cops be able to? And we know they've committed a violent crime. Fair enough. But even so, if that car is still trackable, again, the chase is about chasing the car. Now, if they bail out of the car, they can do that now anyway. The fact is, if we just make a car trackable, we solve a whole host of problems here. And again, for the people who feel like, I don't want the government tracking my car, you have opted in on this. That cat is not only out of the bag, it's died of old age.
Starting with ACLU, you need to argue it through them, too.
Okay.
Necessarily ACLU.
I'm going to go kind of a different route. So first of all, Mike, I agree with you that absolutely we should be able to track stolen cars. And in fact, there is technology that police can use called Star Chase, in which they deploy a GPS tracker that's deployed onto the stolen vehicle. And then the police can just follow it remotely. So there is technology that exists.
Totally.
I believe Redmond PD has started using this. I don't know that even if the state law changes, anything will happen to the number of stolen cars in the state. We have talked about how rapidly it has risen, the number of stolen cars in Washington state. Here's the thing, though. It is happening across the country in states that have passed no laws that match this whatsoever. Nearly 50% of the cars that are being stolen right now are Kias and Hyundais. I'll point you to one day, I think about a month and a half ago, almost 40 cars stolen in Pierce County. 20 of them were Kias and Hyundais. Now, police have said the fact that we have this law in place makes it so that crooks know they can absolutely get away with this. And I think that's true in part, but it is also true that there are also just a crap load more cars being stolen because so many 15-year-old kids know how to steal a Kia or a Hyundai.
They're easy to steal, and now, they're hard to track, and you can part them out and make money out of, or you can joyride. It's easy to do.
Yes, use it to commit a crime. So let me give you some data, though. So between 2016 and 2022, this comes from UW, 29 people across the state were killed by vehicles that were involved in police pursuits. That's almost 5 a year. There have been two since this bill went into effect nearly 2 years ago. That is a dramatic difference. And I would posit that, yes, cars that are stolen should absolutely be a priority. But I don't know that the loss of life or potential loss of life, and I can't significantly
collateral damage
is worth that,
right?
Especially considering the fact that a lot of times people end up getting caught elsewhere down the road. That being said, not pursuing people also has consequences.
Exactly.
So last week in Eastern Washington in Sunnyside, two kids were killed by a wrong way driver who was driving drunk on the freeway. Highway patrol had initially followed him. I think he was doing like 90. Called in to see if he could pursue to his supervisor, and the supervisor said no. Under this new state law, you can't because he is simply speeding. Well, that driver ended up killing two kids later.
There you go.
Or look at the Kia crash that just happened in Renton. Six people in a stolen Kia blow through a red light, and they get into a crash. So there's no guarantee that not pursuing people does not also lead to accidents. I just don't know that anything is going to change, and here's why. Because as you said, Ursula, many law enforcement agencies around the state already had this policy in place. I can tell you that off the record, I have had law enforcement officers tell me, yes, we had this policy in place beforehand. We didn't broadcast it specifically because we didn't want criminals to know. That being said, there are circumstances in which it absolutely makes sense. Hey, if it's a clear road, it's late at night, you're not in the middle of an urban center, go ahead and go for it. So I would just say, I don't know that anything will change. I'm fine if they go either direction on it. But I think that the impacts of this law have been somewhat overstated.
I think that you're right on the impacts of the law that have been overstated. But I also think as long as it stays status quo, we are going to continue to hear these stories over and over again of how criminals get away. And that just generally makes people feel unsafe.
One of these days, we just got to take off the gloves. Just really go at it.
I'll just play that again for no good reason. All right, let's move on. This week, a U.S. appeals court will decide whether the parents of a school mass shooter should stand trial themselves for involuntary manslaughter charges. So their names are James and Jennifer Crumbly, and they are the first parents in the country who've been charged in a mass school shooting in which their child was the shooter. Their child, Ethan, he killed four students, injured seven in November of 2021 at Oxford High in Michigan. The parents had bought their son a gun despite knowing he had mental health issues. They didn't bring him home from school the day they were called into the school over their son making this violent drawing that said, "The thoughts won't stop, help me." And now they're facing involuntary manslaughter charges. And I guess my question is, when are parents responsible for the actions of their child?
You want me to start? I'll go. So in this case, and I was trying to look at the, I remember this particular shooting, and I remember how the parents, it seemingly were in such denial that they knew that their kid, who was 15 at the time, had mental health issues. The mother actually said in the back of the police car after the shooting that my biggest fear was that he was going to turn the gun on himself, yet they purchased him that gun. And then on top of that, they also made sure it was easily accessible. And what ended up happening is he kills four of his classmates. He'd been drawing disturbing things on right before the shooting. He had some encounter with the school where they brought up that they were worried about his mental health. Mm-hmm. And again, I mean, if I, as a parent, have a bunch of kids, underage kids, drinking at my home, and then one of them gets behind the wheel of a car and kills someone, am I responsible? I would say yes. So at the same level, I would think that these parents, providing their kid a gun, not having it in a safe place, knowing that he has mental health issues, and then he ends up killing people, yes, I feel like they have some responsibility.
Yeah, I agree. I think that there's a continuum here, right? I mean, in this particular case, the dad also reportedly told the kid, who, when he was saying, talking about having mental health problems, take some pills and suck it up. Like, the level of engagement that this family, and then declined to bring the kid home. And I'm kind of wondering why, when they declined to bring him home and he had a backpack with him on the day, that somebody at the school also didn't search the backpack, because that probably should have happened as well. But I would argue that should these parents be held liable? I think with zero question. Here is the problem, though. There are does this set then a precedent? Because sometimes you are a parent and you have done the right things and you still have a kid. And we know this from other school shootings, for example, where it's not exclusively. Now, yeah, the parents who know they have their kid, this is kind of a no-brainer. They know their kid has mental health problems. They buy him a gun to make him happy. They see all of these signs and just choose to ignore them. All right, let's convict them. But then what about the other parents who really were trying to do all the right things, still happened? Would this set a precedent that would allow them to be held? Well, I mean, but in court, would this set a precedent that would allow them to also be potentially convicted? I think then we're getting on a, and I'm not sure what I think about that. But then we're getting on a squishier platform.
Well, and that's where you have a jury or a judge, and you have the details of the particular case that you're talking about. Right. And if a parent has zero clue, like I think in the case of, was it Dylan Klebold in the right. Columbine shooting, mom literally had no idea.
Yeah. And then there's Adam Lanza, whose mom bought his guns because that was a good outlet for him, apparently.
Right.
You know, he had social and emotional problems, and it was a hobby that he was into. But I could also foresee a set of circumstances in which, hey, you know what? If gun culture is something that is normal to you, and buying a firearm for your child is completely normal, hey, it's no big deal. You turn, 12 years old, we get you the pellet gun. You turn 16 and we're going to get you a hunting rifle or whatever. It is. Well, you know what? Take some pills and suck it up is some pretty common advice for mental health in this country, including today. My child, drawing a disturbing photo in class, I can tell you as the parent of a five-year-old, they draw disturbing things. Absolutely. And you know what? 15 years old, I could see it as being a bigger red flag, but I could definitely see a ton of parents being like, kids are kids. What you gonna do? Guns are normal. We have a right to them. Sorry. The school needs to deal with it. The behavior problems lie there.
Yeah, again, and that's where the case, and I think prosecutors feel like they have a strong enough case. As you know, prosecutors will generally not charge if they don't think that they have a chance of winning something. And in this case, I mean, it is so rare, but I think there were so many details in this particular case that gave them reason, including the parents tried to take off and hide from police.
They were hiding in a warehouse or something like that.
Okay, let me get one more quick one, very, very quick one in here. So a new survey finds finds that Seattle baseball fans are the best behaved and least annoying in the country, as defined by fans that drink too much, yell too much, they're too negative, or get into fights. Apparently, Yankees fans are the rudest in the country, the worst to be around. I don't know. I
would have guessed Toronto Blue Jays fans. In Seattle has always had that long history of Toronto fans.
Far as opposing fans visiting the stadium, Boston fans are pretty bad here, too.
Boston fans pretty annoying.
I had some thoughts, though. I was like, don't you kind of want chippy fans in the stands? Like, you want a little attitude against the opposing team, so I figured I'd check in with Radio GPT.
I don't boo.
I don't either.
Right? I mean, if I don't like the player, or if I don't wish for the player, I just don't say anything. I mean, you really sit there.
You really
stand up and say, boo.
Oh, there are people.
Boo.
Danny O'Neill.
Boo.
Who used to work here.
I think booing is your right. I think that the Mariners fans will become like the Seahawks fans. Is once you start tasting success, you're going to get a little bit chippier.
Not Seattle.
I bet. My bet is that if the Mariners, and I hope the Mariners win a World Series, then the entitlement happens, and then the expectations rise, and then the fans get chippier. These other fans actually have teams that have made it to the World Series, not much less won a World Series. We don't have that yet.
Okay. I'm going to say that as someone who has been to Husky games now for decades, you don't want those chippy players. They're generally the ones that are super drunk. It's not fun. It's funny for about 5 minutes.
Yeah, it depends on the continuum of chippy.
Yeah,
there are people who can be pretty funny.
If you're sober, it's not fun.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe this is your problem, Ursula.
Yeah, this is a you thing.
Maybe they didn't like it when I was rooting for the Ducks during a Husky game.
Perhaps.
I learned.
No wonder.
Yeah.
No wonder.
That had happened one time and I learned my lesson. Okay, still ahead. Heather's going to join us. We're going to talk about International Women's Day. This is the G and Ursula Show. The G and Ursula Show. I love this song, so I'm just going to let it breathe a little bit. Makes me in a good mood. Makes me feel like it's summertime for some reason. Thank you so much, Nick. Today is March 8th, and it is International Women's Day. That is observed each March 8th of every year. And the idea is to celebrate the achievements of women from all around the world, whether they be social achievements, economic, cultural, political, etc. So this is a perfect time to celebrate the achievements of the Washington State Cougar women's basketball team that just had a phenomenal season. And as our Heather Bosch is going to tell us, along the way, they have gained support from a very famous fan.
Thank you, Ursula. Yeah, the Wazoo women won the program's first Pac-12 tournament championship Sunday, beating UCLA 65-61. And on their way to the championship game, the 7th seed Washington State bumped off 2nd seed Utah, the Pac-12 network pointing out.
Not only do they knock off the number 2 seed, but it becomes the biggest upset in school history.
Time to cue the women's rally song.
The best thing about me.
Wazoo team starts singing Shania Twain's 1997 hit. The action caught on Twitter, and then
Shania Twain retweeted it!
Oh, yeah, she did.
She said, "Love this," and then a dancing emoji and a heart on fire.
Twain gave them a shout out on Sunday, tweeting, "I'm honored to have been a small part of your journey." Take it away, ladies.
I love it. Thank you, Heather, for bringing us that story.
Feel like a woman.
Slight delay in the edit there. But what a fun story. The gals were just going crazy on the basketball court. It was so fun to watch.
Well, so cool to also hear from Washington State. We just don't focus enough on the great things that are going on there. So great to hear that the women's team
and women's
had
basketball.
An awesome season.
How great is that?
But I want to ask
which
y'all.
Which is not over because they've got a tournament in front of them as well, which is great.
Yes.
Okay, that's true.
Right. This is great. This is the best sports story of the year so far in Seattle.
I love
easily.
That. Really?
Easily.
Now,
best in Washington State, absolutely.
So now how do you figure that one? Because the Mariners had a great season.
No, this year.
Oh, this year.
So
okay,
far.
So but we're looking at we're in March.
And it could end, well, we'll see how far they get in the tournament. It could end up as the best story. I mean, we've also got Gonzaga heading into the tournament as well, obviously. But I love it. I mean, I'm a big college basketball fan. In particular, I've been watching this team for a little while. They're very, very good. They're not a little bit good. This is not a fluke. They're very, very good. And they're going to make this is getting more and more interesting, not less. It's actually, I'm super happy about it. Super pumped.
So I saw when I teased that we were going to talk about International Women's Day and we're going to mark it with a sweet story. And one of our regular texters said, I'm kind of ambivalent about International Women's Day. And I wanted to just, you know, talk to another woman who's been in the business for a long time. Your thoughts on any of these days where we say, OK, well, now it's International Women's Day. I mean, it's not something like, oh, happy International Women's Day.
I got flowers on International Women's Day once.
Oh, wait.
that's a long story. Someone was trying to make up for Valentine's Day. Problem.
Oh,
but
forgetting Valentine's Day.
Completely.
Oh, wait. Oh, that's right. You told me you got a.
Yeah, yeah.
A bouquet that said, you go, girl.
You go, girl. It was a valid attempt, but that fell far short. But on another subject, I think it's okay to focus on international. We're just moving right along. International Women's Day. When you look
just
at...
Just staying quiet.
You know, other...
You go, girl.
How do I recover after that? Per your question,
yes,
I think it is important for us to focus on countries, especially where women don't have the rights that we have. And
that's
they're working
so true.
Very hard to get up to where we are in the U.S., where I think being a woman in the United States, though imperfect, we're a lot better off than people in other countries.
I've got. Well, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yes.
So G mentioned this on Black History Month that he had kind of an awkward encounter at the gym, and someone wished him, you know, a happy Black History Month. Can you walk up to women in the gym and say Happy International Women's Day?
I
probably
don't know
not,
that anyone would
probably,
necessarily.
Okay.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Not
but
idea.
Again,
thank
it's
you.
Like, well, what does it mean? What does it mean? You know what I would rather have?
Yeah.
Instead of just telling me Happy International Women's Day, why don't you pay me, why don't we have pay equity when it comes to, if I do the same job, I want to be paid at least as well as the man doing the same job.
The flowers that say you go girl falls far short of pay equity. Let's just put that out there right now.
And I'd also like to say as the inadvertent, unintentional spokesperson for the other 364 days, how many days do we have to give you to make everyone like sort of happy about this?
How many days?
Yeah, how many days?
At least
you got
a week.
It's like a
all
birthday
right?
month.
I like a birthday month. Yeah,
exactly.
I think you're absolutely right. I mean, it's nice to draw attention to it. Getting flowers that say you. I mean, I don't know. Like, I got this wave of embarrassment that somebody would even do that. You go, girl. That is not really the point of International Women's Day. I do think that the way you celebrate it is by making it not necessary. And the way you make it not necessary is you provide equity. Pretty simple.
Thank you.
100%. 100%.
Once again, relying on you for showing us this wisdom on International Women's Day. Yes. How about we just pay everybody equally?
And one more time, focusing on some great women here.
Congratulations to Wazoo.
You know, one other thing as a side note to this. So all of that sniveling that the NCAA did about the way they treated women's college basketball.
Oh, when they didn't give them any equipment
to
work with.
No, no, no. But I mean, like, and television time, all of it. Like, all of the stuff that they did. And then they started televising it. They got shamed into televising it regularly. And it turns out that the ratings are fantastic. Like, this is actually what people want to watch. We were told something. And then they made sure that was true. And then it turns out it wasn't actually true. And I'm super, super happy for the team. And I'm also happier broadly that this sort of stuff is getting showcased way more now than it ever has been.
Absolutely. Okay, so I'm going to just tell you, because I think this is more in the spirit of it. So on this International Day for Women, UN Women and the United Nations is celebrating under the theme Digit All, Innovation and Technology for Gender Equity. And right now they're pointing out that women make up only 22% of artificial intelligence workers globally. So obviously there's some room for improvement there.
You go, Urs.
You go, girl. Okay, still ahead, our words to live by. And, of course, we're going to share your feedback with We Hear You. This is the G and Ursula Show. Back to the G and Ursula Show. It is now 11:47. This is another day that just the show has gone by so quickly.
Good show.
It feels
thanks
like we just
Chef.
Started.
I know.
And then we're almost done. Yes, thank you, Chef. Thank you, Nick. Thank you, Mike, for being here.
Said.
Yeah, I know. It's been really
happy
fun.
Happy to be here. Always
it,
happy.
It has been really fun. Okay, let's start with our text messages and International Women's Day.
From 253, I just reminded my husband that it's International Women's Day. He said he wasn't going to get me any presents or cake. Shoot.
And I assured Liz in Gig Harbor that my husband's probably not going to get me anything either, but that's okay. Backyard cottages are being built at a faster clip in Seattle than single homes, Nick says. So if I work really hard and save money, I might be able to live in a converted garage?
Possibly, Nick. Possibly. From 206, 55 years old, never owned a house, soon to be a single dad with four kids, aged between 7 to 18. And now, with my wife, abandoning our family to go live with her boyfriend means I don't see homeownership ever in my future. I'll live and die in my cheap three-bedroom apartment.
Oh, 206, I hope things turn around for you. Robot radio hosts Brian in Arlington says, oh, man, I don't like Robot G. It's really creeping me out.
Whoa, oh. Whoa, whoa.
That needs some work.
Wait, what was this one?
I don't like fun.
Robot G, come on. We can't replace
She's
regular
all about
G.
The fun. Come on.
From 360, hypothetically speaking, would an AI DJ talk the same topics all the time or mix it up more? The answer is mix it up more than I'm ready for it.
I know. I looked at that the history of that texter's messages. I don't think they're a big fan. I think that was another way of saying, I won't miss you. Rich says, how much radio, especially with calls, is just people pounding their talking points?
From Roger in UP, I'm guessing University Place?
Yep.
Not the Upper Peninsula. One of the things I enjoy about listening to the show is when things go off the rails, my point exactly, when things go off the rails and you go into a spontaneous fits of laughter on the air, that's a lot of fun. Won't happen with AI.
King County Executive Dow Constantine warning of cuts if he can't raise property taxes. 608 says, I'm confused. If property values are up a lot, then aren't property tax revenues also up? But he wants the percentage to go up higher.
Exactly. 206, Dow is insane if he thinks our taxes are only going up 1% a year. Our property tax bill is up 25% from last year.
Yeah, there are a lot of people sharing that sentiment. Okay, when it comes to more customers looking for revenge against companies that give them shoddy products or services, Robin Puyallup says, my pet peeve are the people who try and use Yelp and reviews to bully their way into getting what they want.
From 425, I've written several bad reviews, but I've written far more good reviews because I figure people are more willing to write bad reviews. I read reviews before I go to restaurants, and more than once I didn't go because of negative bad reviews.
On the police pursuit legislation that is likely to die, 425 says, Mike, tracking my phone requires a warrant.
No, it actually doesn't. From Jeff in Body Lake, I'm very liberal. I'm angry at Democrats for killing this. We have to be able to arrest people for committing crimes. I don't want people being arrested for crimes they didn't commit. I do want them arrested for crimes they do commit.
Yeah. Scenario is my wife got a job offer at a dental clinic. It's one male dentist and a bunch of smoking hot dental hygienists. Is that weird? 352 says, yeah, you should mention it. Trust your gut feelings. As I've gotten older, I've learned to trust my gut feelings.
From Terrence in the 509, when I was a kid in the 80s, I lived in a small town with one pharmacy. The pharmacist was a 50-something guy and only hired attractive high school girls. Never hired guys and girls above 17.
425 said, I don't know if it's still the case, but to get a job at a name of a coffee company that we're not going to say. You have to submit a picture that best describes your personality. It's no coincidence that most of their employees are young, attractive, flirtatious women.
On Seattle Mariners fans are the least annoying fans in the nation. Brian from Arlington says, Seattleites, especially when it comes to the Mariners, feel pretty fair weather. New York has a lot of real Yankees fans that get worked up.
And Jeff says, way back in the 2001 days of the Mariners, you could chant that the Yankees stink and wear a Yankees, what was another word?
Sock,
t-shirt. The ballpark personnel, they don't allow that anymore.
Yeah, I think we're generally pretty polite on the fan ends, although I wouldn't say that's true at Seahawks games. Not even close.
I wouldn't say it's always at the Husky games either, depending on
maybe it's
the
just
year.
Football crowds as opposed to baseball crowds.
And I think it also the amounts of alcohol that are consumed.
Well, it's a gladiator sport. I mean, if the baseball players were going at each other and charging the mound, I think you'd have a little bit different reaction.
It gets
from
us
the fans
back to the old
game.
George Carlin line about in football you're running into enemy territory, and in baseball you're running home.
I'm gonna say this. It is a compliment, I think, and I think it is a nice title to say that we have the most polite.
I think that's
fans.
Great.
Yeah.
I could totally agree.
I'm good with it. Okay, it's time for Words to Live By, brought to you by Wilcox Farms. And I actually solicited a Words to Live By from one of our listeners, Chris in the 360, who in an earlier text message to us said, some of your Words to Live Bys are just too sappy. So I said, why don't you give me one? And he did. So this is a quote from Mark Twain, and it says this: if you cannot get a compliment any other way, pay yourself one.
I like it.
I love it, because sometimes we are our harshest critic.
Absolutely.
And sometimes we need to learn to love ourselves first. So thank you, Chris.
Give yourself a break.
Point well taken. Mike, thanks again.
As always, super happy to be here.
Really appreciate it. Chef, thank you for putting together a great show, as always. You're being quiet.
I just wanted to say thank you to Mike for joining us and quote Mark Twain and say, don't wrestle with pigs. You both get dirty. So, Mike, thank you for oinking it up with me the last couple days.
Always happy to. Reminds me of the old days.
Wrestling.
A better version of the old days.
And Nick.
Well, as efficient as AI would be live on the air, it's not personal to me, so I don't think that I'd care, because I want to hear from a real human every day with a laugh or a cry, adding character to what you say. So I wouldn't worry yet about bots taking this show to give the people what they want. For AI, that's tough to know. And for the singing Wazoo ladies, you perfectly proved my point. You can't make that stuff up with a carbon copy to exploit.
On International Women's Day, thank you so much for ending the show with this song.
And thank you.
Nick, we so appreciate you. And all of you listening, all of you who listen every single day, or maybe you just tune in for the first time today, we love and appreciate you. We're going to do this again tomorrow. Have a wonderful day, and stick around, because Spike O'Neill and Jack Stein have another great show cooked up for you. Have a great day.
Hope you have as much fun as we have. So long, everybody.